And we worship God in many ways. With our voices is one way, but the way we live our life, what we say every day, the actions that we do is another way that we worship God. In fact, it's probably easier to easy to worship the Lord in here because the less distractions, amen? You know how the world coming against you. Out there Monday through Saturday, it's harder. But I tell you, it's possible. And so just think that what we say, your actions that you do, you're still worshiping God. You know, when you share Christ with others, when you live a life that's pleasing to God, that's worshiping Him. One thing we need to remember this morning, always remember this, that we are children of God, and God is with us. Whatever's coming against you today is coming against our God. So have faith in Him. Allow Him to handle it. Allow Him to be your deliverer. And Sister Mary, I mentioned a minute ago about being Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, or another name for it one time, was Decoration Day. And it started right after the Civil War, I believe it was. Where down south, a mother went out to decorate her son's grave and noticed a grave there of the enemy laying there. And she started decorating it in honor of the service. And so we still do that today. We still take a day every year and set it aside. And sometimes people get Memorial Day and Veterans Day kind of mixed up. And Veterans Day is for the veterans who served our nation. Thank God for every one of them. But this day is to serve those who have gave their life, the ultimate sacrifice for the defense of our country. And what we need to do as I believe as God-fearing, Jesus Christ-believing Americans, is to make sure that those who have died have not died in vain. Amen? So they took an oath to defend the Constitution of these United States of America and uphold American life. They did not write the laws of this land, they protect them. And we as citizens of these United States of America, I believe, as one nation under God, it is our responsibility to make sure that those laws are worth defending. We have a mouth, we need to speak up for the morality of this country and not to be so afraid of being or not being politically correct. So those who gave their life, they defended this country. They didn't write the laws. They took an oath to defend this. They're defending any law that we pass, any way of life that we want to accept. And we need to do everything we can to honor them and honor our God by allowing this nation to be one nation truly under God. It's only truly under God if God is the governing force of our nation. So we need to do our part, guys. Continue to hang in there. Pray for our military, but also exercise that authority that we've been given, that right to vote. Think of that. We are self-governed. We are a free nation. And I'm afraid is the laxation that we have, if that's the right word to use, that we have in our civil responsibilities is falling over into the church. Let someone else do it. Let someone else take care of it. Somebody else would pray. I mean, this is the last election in Coshocton only. I mean, even Linton Township, 300 and some registered voters, 33 of us voted. And in Coshocton County, I think it was what? 3,200 population, we had 24,000 people could vote. I think we had right around 3,000 people went out and executed the authority they had to be self-governed. And folks, we can't. Those who are giving their lives to protect us, we need to make sure that they're not dying in vain. We need to exercise that vote. But what's happening, it don't make a difference, or we'll ask someone else to do it. But what happened, that mentality is coming over into the church. Let someone else do it. It don't make a difference. And we can't allow that to happen. Amen? We got to realize the authority we have as Christians when it comes to the Word of God. And to exercise that. Never get to the point where it doesn't do any good. You know, having a whole account for each one of us on what has happened because of our prayers. I know things we pray for at times doesn't turn out the way we want them to. But they turn out the way God wants them to. He sees the big picture. We just have to be faithful and do what God's called us to do. He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood, His authority. What we have to do is just take the initiative to exercise that. Amen? God, we need to do this. And looking at today being Memorial Day, I'm going to take a second and look at one of our brothers who passed away in the fight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this happened on May the 6th, 2003. And I'll give you part of the story. I'll summarize it because it's kind of lengthy. And excuse my pronunciation of his names. But it says, a smile spread across Jamel's face as he watched yet another person walk away with a New Testament in his hand and the Word of God on his mind. He tried to pray for each one by name if he could as they walked away. The past 10 days had passed in a blur. There were so many people in Lebanon who needed to hear about Christ, and Jamal was thrilled about the number of people he spoke with. He gave out almost 3,000 New Testaments. After all that God has done for me, it's the least that I can do, he said. The highlight of his day was telling others about Christ. He was active in the Campus Crusade for Christ, multiple Bible studies, and evangelism. God has really blessed me and provided for me the past few years, he thought. Jamal Ahib Arifa grew up in a high-class Jordanian Muslim family. Just a few years earlier, he became a Christian through the ministry of Trans World Radio. When Jamal's family heard he was a Christian, they angrily told him that he was no longer allowed to live with them. Jamal packed up his belongings and left his family in exchange to follow Christ. He moved around several times, finally ending up with a couple, Anna and Frank Marsden, and their three children. And there the story goes on that he lived with them, Christians also. You know, here he was, Jamal, become a Christian. He wanted to share the gospel with his family, and they kicked him out. He gave it up, gave his family up for the Lord. Now he's living with the family. He got three children, and again, being a born-again Christian, coming from the Muslim faith, you're not welcome in your communities. One night, the mother saw about 11:30 at night, saw a man walk past the window of their home. She alerted her husband and Jamal. They went out and looked, and here the bomb was on the back porch of their house, and it had a fuse lit. And so they quickly extinguished the fuse, and they went out looking for the guy in the backyard, couldn't find him. Everyone else went back into the house, and they thought so, but apparently the fuse was not snuffed out completely, and Jamal was moving the bomb away from the house when it exploded, and it took his life. But he gave his life. He surrendered life to Jesus to go out and save others. And it cost him his physical life. But he has an inheritance in heaven that will last for eternity. Amen. And that's just one of our brothers. If you look at Memorial Day, that's just one of them. That was May the 6th, 2003. So about 12 years ago when that took place. And what strength it must take in order to follow Jesus. I mean, I wish I had it with me, Brother Paul. Brother Paul brought me a story one time, and it's about a gentleman who went to a revival one night. And at first, he wasn't a Christian. He went to a revival one night, and he got saved. Man, he gave his heart to the Lord. And well, he went home and went to work out next week. And a couple weeks later, he showed up back up in the church, and the preacher says, "What did you talk to your what were your friends think about you, you know, getting saved?" He says, "Oh, don't worry. They don't expect a thing. They don't suspect a thing." I mean, he wasn't living what he had given. And I know that's kind of chopped up there, Paul, but it's kind of like in summary what it was. But this gentleman here, Jamal, wasn't that way. He lived. God forgave him his sins. It meant so much to him that he wasn't afraid to share the gospel. And even though his family rejected him, he still shared the gospel. And that takes strength to do that. And today, we'll look at today, because today is a day in the church calendar. This is the second feast that we are to celebrate. Did you know that? You know, there's seven feasts in the Bible, but there's three of them that we will celebrate until the Lord comes back. If you have your Bibles with you, you want to turn to Deuteronomy 16:16. And this is God's word to us. This is his instructions to us. And so today we want to take a moment and look at what is known as the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of Pentecost. Amen? But in chapter 16, verse 16, God is speaking to us. If you're there, say amen. Okay. I heard an amen and an awe, so I'll hang on there one second time. We have to, if we would understand that this is God speaking to His children, we are born again, these are His instructions to us, this is His commandment to us, okay, as children of God. Three times in a year, all you males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now what He's talking about here when He says all you male, they only counted men back then, okay? I mean, you remember the story when Christ fed the 5,000? That was 5,000 men sat there. They didn't count women and children, okay? So He's saying three times a year, there are three feasts that we will celebrate, three times a year. And in the New Testament, we look at what they call the Feast of Booth or Tabernacle. That is when Jesus was born, okay? We celebrate that when? October, late September, early October. I know we talked about this before. Christmas is not the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay? It was a date picked out, and I'll touch that briefly. But you have Jesus was born in Tabernacle. He was crucified at Passover, rose up from the grave, and the Holy Spirit was sent at Pentecost. And that's the three feasts He said we'll always celebrate that way. We will not forget what He's done for us. See, on Christmas, December the 25th, that date was picked out to celebrate the birth of Christ, to offset a pagan holiday called the Winter Solstice, which is December the 21st. Okay? Constantine picked it out. The emperor picked it out. But the awesome thing is, even though he just picked it out, is truly believe that that is the day that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived Jesus. That is the day that the Son of God came to earth in His mama's womb. You go forward 9 months and you find yourself in the middle of September, early October, Feast of Tabernacle. And tabernacle means to come together, to house, to live together. That's when Christ came out of the womb and lived with us. Then you have the Feast of Passover when He was crucified. And we just celebrated that feast not too long ago. Okay, everybody understand? Everybody clear on that? Okay. So today we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 23. If you have your Bible there, it's back to your left a little bit. Leviticus 23, verse 15. And verse 16. Well, Leviticus 23, verse 15 and 16. God said, you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. So He's talking about 50. And when we say Pentecost, Pentecost means 50. Okay? And it was on Pentecost that Moses received the law from God. 50 days after Passover, remember how God wrote the Ten Commandments? You all remember reading that, watching the movie? Where God wrote His laws on a stone tablet? Okay. That was Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And then in the New Testament, we celebrate Passover when Jesus wrote His laws on our hearts. When the Holy Spirit came and resided in man, that's when the laws were written on our hearts and no longer on a wooden or stone tablet. He says, remember this day. Pentecost is when the power came to the church. It's the day that the church was birthed. And if you return to Luke in the New Testament, chapter 24. And if you turn to 49, verse 49 of Luke 24. And Christ, this is the Lord speaking. He has risen from the grave. He has been with them for 40 days and is getting ready to ascend into heaven. And He knows that they're going to have some issues, they're going to have some problems. It would be a mighty war against them. And He tells and gives them instructions to His disciples. He says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He says, "I'm going to send you the promise of my Father." You want to see what the promise is? You go to John 14. I know you turn around a lot today. You're going through your Bible a lot, but this is important for you to get an understanding of the strength that we have. But in John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and my Father in me within you." And one more, I want you to go to John 15. It's to your right. John 15, verse 26. He said, "When the Helper comes, God will send you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the very beginning." So what Jesus is telling his disciples is that, "Listen, I'm going to go away. I'm coming back in a couple of thousand years. But until then, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone to help, to give you instructions, to give you strength. It's called the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost." When the church broke out, is what he sent. He sent power. Now, when we ask ourselves today, how did Jamal stand up? How did he get strength to become a Christian? And when his family come against him, how did he have the strength to say, "Okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, I'm sorry if you hate me. I'm sorry you want to kill me. I'm sorry you're throwing me out of the house. But Jesus is the truth." How did he get the strength? He got the strength through the Holy Spirit. That promise, that helper, that enabler that Christ sent. The third person of the Trinity. That's how he did that. How can we have strength today to do what God's called us to do? It's the same way, through the Holy Spirit. Through the strength that it gives us. To be able to stand boldly wherever we're at and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And we talked earlier about worshiping him in deeds and in our voices and stuff. How can we do that? With the Holy Spirit? So when we got born again, we gave our life to the Lord. And he comes and resides with us. His Spirit is with us. He uses our mouths, our hands, our feet. He tells us where to go and what to say. All we have to do is yield to him and allow him to work through us. Allow him to reach this world. Because a lot of people are dying every day and they're going to hell because they don't have the truth. This Pentecost, this Holy Spirit was given to us, allows us to hear the truth, understand the truth, then act on the truth. But the number one thing it allows us to do is recall what Christ told us to do. And folks, it first starts with ourselves. Amen? We got to first yield ourselves to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We first got to allow ourselves to let the Word of God line up in our life. We first got to allow ourselves to follow the Word of God ourselves. And then we share with other people. Amen? You know, I mean, I suppose anyone, I could be a doctor and tell you, Daryl, 1,000 times to quit eating steak all the time. It's not good for your heart. Okay? I could tell you 1,000 times not to do that and every night go home and eat a steak myself. Could I not? Okay, and that steak fat would build up on me and take me out. But I can tell you 1,000 times not to. Okay? And it's the truth. Folks, we know the truth and we share with one another. But if we don't take that truth inside of ourselves, let it change our life, the way that we think, the way that we act, the way we conduct ourselves with one another. If it doesn't change us at all, we might as well keep our mouth shut, because we are a living, walking testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen? The best worship you do is the way you live your life today. Okay? It's what you say tomorrow. It's what you're doing out there the day after tomorrow. We got to realize it's not just verbal service that God wants. He wants a total commitment from us. When we say, "Yes, God, forgive me my sin," he came into our life. He wants then us to yield ourselves to him, allow him to work through us. He will help us keep our mouth shut when we're supposed to. Amen? He'll help us speak things that we're supposed to when we're afraid to say that. But we have to yield. And not one time as a Christian, do we sin without knowing it? No. I truly believe that. There's that little voice inside of us saying, ah, don't go any farther, but we go anyway. It's saying, stop, stop, Storky, you don't want to go down that road. But I have a choice, stop or keep going. And we find ourselves too many times, we keep going, we keep going, and we keep going. And he wants us to stop. Yield ourselves to that. Because our testimonies are very important to the people around us. The way that I live my life is very important to people around me. The way you live your life is very important around you. Amen? It's really important. And folks, it goes as far as your Facebook too, okay? Your Facebook is just as important. And I tell you what, a lot of you guys, not just here, but you cannot be convicted as a Christian if I read your Facebook if he's on trial. Amen? Amen? Amen. Clean it up, God says. Clean it up. Billions of people are reading your witness right there on Facebook. And when you're talking about people, that's gossiping. Oh, my lands. And folks, I know it's easy to get caught up, and I've done it before. I like something, I didn't read the whole thing. Then I won't go with what I like, but I change it real quick. But too many times we want to get in the swing of things. We want to be accepted, and yes, we like this, we'll post this. Folks, man, watch that. You represent Jesus Christ, whether you're on your cell phone, or whether you're on your Facebook, whether you're at a family gathering, or 2 o'clock in the morning. And you say, well, it's awful hard, Pastor. I know it is. That's why we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why we celebrate Pentecost. It will give us the strength to overcome anything that we want to. Do we want to overcome it? That's the big question. I need to hear a big amen on that. But do we? Do we really want to please the Master? He knows that we sin. He knows we're in the flesh. But he knows that he conquered everything. He went through every temptation, survived it. And he'll give us the strength to help us do the same thing. We just cannot allow ourselves to get wrapped up in the things of this world. The Lord says to be in the world, but not of the world. There's so many people out there counting on us. Counting on you. They're looking at you. They're watching you. Man, they need hope. They need hope. Is there really a true God out there? Is there truly someone that loves me? Is there really truly the Son of God? Did he really die on the cross? Does he really forgive our sins, Daryl? Wow. They're watching this. They are reading our lives the same way that we are reading this. How do I decide what I can do, cannot do? Look, right here. Very simple. I read, okay, Lord, can I do this? Oh, I can't do that. But God, is that any of my taxes? I can't cheat on my taxes? No, thou shalt not steal. Okay. So I read this and find that out. But people are reading us. People who are not Christians are reading us and saying, okay, what can I do? I can't do. They're watching you, Daryl. Oh, Sunday morning, Daryl got up and went to church. Oh, wow, okay. You know, today you guys all made a statement to somebody. Somebody saw you get up, get dressed. Well, maybe not get dressed, but they saw you get up and come to church. You came in here, you made a statement to someone that I believe there's something better out there. I have a faith in God. Well, he made that statement. And they're watching, and they're watching during their weeks. Okay, how do we live our life? Are we living what the Bible says? Or do we just grab hold of the Word of God just when we need something? You know, a lot of us have children, and sometimes our children, the only time you hear from them is when they want something. Amen? But you know what? We're still glad to hear from them. We're still glad to hear from them. And our Father in Heaven is the same way. He wants to hear from us. Man, he wants us to be open with them. If you have something that is just trying to destroy your life, there's something you just cannot get over. I'm telling you what. Call out to him. Say, God, I need help. Lord, give me help. I can't overcome this thing. Help me get out of this situation. Give me wisdom. And he'll give you everything that you need. He will. But once he gives it to you, what are you going to do with it? You know? The Bible, one thing I really read in the Bible, I see that don't ask unless you really want it. You know that? Jesus says to weigh the cost. Even becoming a disciple, he says, weigh the cost. Because when we accept the forgiveness of our sins, boom, he says for us to what? To pick up our cross and follow him daily. We talked about Thursday night. That Bible study, pick up our cross and follow him daily. It means we have to die to self. We have to allow the things of the flesh not to overcome us anymore. And the only way we do that is through praise, worship, studying the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. You know, we've all come to that point in our life where we sinned. As a Christian, you sin, and you knew it, and once you did, you felt so bad. Man, God, you told me that. I knew it was coming. I seen the stop sign. I saw the yield sign. Three preachers walked past me, and I still sin. Well, God is still there to forgive us. But he wants us to learn from that. He wants us to learn from our mistakes. He wants us to recognize those things that cause us to sin. Or, I won't say cause us to sin, the things that tempt us to sin. Okay? Only person calls you to sin is yourself. Amen? Because you have to yield to it somewhere along the line. All the, you know, Satan knows your temptations. Okay? All you got to do is throw them at you. But I tell you what, when you know what if you know where that one weak area is, man, build yourself up a fortress and pray around that, and God will give us strength. And for one another, you know, we say, how do we pray for one another? Pray for me today. Best way we can pray for one another is pray for strength. I believe when Jesus prayed for Peter, I mean, that's one of the greatest examples of how we pray for other believers. You know, when he said, I prayed for you because Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Remember when he said that? I prayed for you, Peter, that you would not fall. He prayed for his strength. Jesus didn't pray that Satan would vanish. He didn't pray that the temptations be gone. The temptation's going to come. Amen? I mean, they're going to come. We need to do is pray for one another that we'll have strength to overcome those temptations. Again, it goes back again to where when the Lord said, you know, confess our sins to one another. I believe that's where we go to your prayer parts. I mean, I'm having a tough time in this area of my life. I need to pray for strength. Give me strength to overcome this. And we do. You know, we can get that strength through the Lord. Having a prayer partner. Having someone that you can confide in. The worst thing we can do is get ourselves isolated. Have Satan isolate us enough where we don't call out to one another, where we don't share with one another our prayer needs and concerns. But the power that we have through Pentecost, and I want to go back into Acts for a moment here, if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 1. I know a lot of times as a pastor, I start speaking about Pentecost, I start speaking about the Holy Spirit, a lot of people get really nervous because now they're thinking about, okay, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, prayer language, you're going to get the snakes out and start passing around Joe, and all kind of, I mean, and people have a large misconception. And Satan's done a good job of that. He's done a great job of watering down the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. And no, if you're ever in a church and they get snakes out, you do the same thing, you get out. That is distortion of the scriptures. What he's saying is, as you're serving the Lord, he'll watch over you and he'll protect you. Okay? But we don't, you don't, they had this show on TV once called The Snakes. Remember that? It lasted about 3 weeks. Anybody remember that show? It was on Arts and Entertainment or something like that. Well, no, not snakes, but this was a church that had a service and they passed snakes around. It lasted 3 weeks, so the pastor got bit by a snake and died. But I can't remember the name of it. But that's the distortment of the scripture. And again, that's why your pastor tell you, read the scriptures. Amen? And I give it, read them all you said, read them. And never once would he says, if you get bit. He didn't say when. He didn't say, as you're holding snakes. And we have to read it. We have to know what the Bible says. Amen? Okay, Acts chapter 1. It says, but Jesus began to do and teach all things until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he has chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, Christ had already given them the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, he already gave that to them. So now what he's going to do is give them power, give them strength to do this with. And he does the same thing to us today. And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remote parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received them out of their sight. Okay, that's the last instruction Christ gave them. Say, listen, tarry on, go to Jerusalem, I will send the Comforter to you. And he gave them the charge to go and preach the gospel around the world. And that's the same thing he's given us today. Amen? We're the descendants. We're the generations of disciples. And now, thank God that around the world there's so many Christians, and the Word of God is being preached, that our part of the world is Coshocton. Amen? I mean, somebody here might be called to go out somewhere else, maybe Africa or someplace, but this is our area here. Some people say, well, I can't be a disciple because I can't leave Coshocton. I got a job. Well, God doesn't want you to leave Coshocton unless he comes to you and says, hey, you're going to leave. We'll be a disciple where you're at today. And folks, it's harder to be a disciple, a follower of Christ in your own hometown than it is somewhere else, isn't it? It's hard to be around people that knew you when and try to share the gospel because they start thinking back about what you used to do, but which is a good thing, is it not? When they look at me, remember how I used to be and now how I've changed, that's a witness to the power of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. So, in verse 12, I'm going to continue on. I believe that I'm going to be in 12. Stopped at 10. I'm going to go to chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go to 2, verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to be like tongues of fire upon them, and they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because they were each one hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, why are all not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? And it's awesome how the power of God fell upon them. He said, I'm going to give you a commission to go and preach the gospel. Then what he does, he gives them the language to preach it in. And the same way today as we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he'll give us a way to present the gospel to people that they will understand. Amen? I mean, if I sit here today and try to explain to you the gospel using the aircraft, some might understand, but some might not, because you've never flown before. If you never tore down an aircraft before, you wouldn't understand. But in this church here, if I would start using a donut to describe the gospel and how that whole represents our life without Christ and how we, you know, I could take something and relate to you. God would give it. The Holy Spirit would give me utterance to bring it forth in a way you can understand it. And that's what he does to each one of us, that Holy Spirit will. He'll give us the strength of understanding, the ability to understand what we're talking about. Now, Peter, as the gospel goes on, Brother Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Amen? Remember that? You're all familiar with that, right before the crucifixion? And then after he did that, Christ reinstated him. He forgave him, reinstated Peter. But Peter was scared to death at one time. They took Christ into custody. They were beating him, plucking his beard out, whipping him. This King of Kings, Lord, Lord, this person that Peter saw raised the dead, gave light or sight to the blind, the lame man walked again. When he seen him being manhandled, he ran. He hid. So now here Jesus, who's just ascended to heaven, is gone now. He's not there to be beside Peter and the rest of them every day, trying to encourage him, trying to, hey, remember I told you there, brother? Remember I told you? He wasn't going to be there anymore. He knew they needed strength. So the Holy Spirit came to 120 of the disciples in the upper room. They waited there 10 days from the time Christ ascended till the Holy Spirit came. 10 days, the Bible says, it is all there in one accord. All with the same idea. All focusing on the Lord, praising Him, and they were in prayer, waiting and seeking what God had planned for them. They wanted to receive what the Lord promised them. Did not quite understand what it was. Now, Brother Paul, if I told you I'm going to leave today, but I got a comforter coming to you. There'll be a counselor coming, brother, here in a little bit, okay? There'll be one to help you remember everything I told you, brother, okay? Well, probably if I told you now, you go and you sit in the church until the helper comes. You probably sit there, or you might walk around, and you might be doing this. You might be saying, okay, well, I don't see no counselor out here. You're out looking around. You'd be thinking, well, what is this? Because remember, he told the disciples, a counselor? What would you think? You'd be thinking, another person was coming. I can see him look out of the window in the upper room. See anybody yet? Oh, not yet. I see a pizza delivery truck. And that's about all I see right now. But man, there was no mistaking the day that the Comforter came, was there? Because that room that they were gathered in sounded like a thunderstorm. The wind was so great. And man, it said that the fire of God came down like little tongues on their head. Otherwise, what it was saying, the power and authority of God Almighty came down upon the disciples in the form of the Holy Spirit, the third part person of the Trinity. And they were filled with the Spirit of God. And look what change it did to Peter, Brother Joe. This man who was hiding, this man who was scared and afraid. And this is all in Acts 1, chapter 1 to 40, or chapter 2 to 147, I believe. If you want to read later on, I'm just bringing it together for you. This man who was scared to death at one time now stood in front of the same people that crucified Jesus Christ, the same one that manhandled them. He stood before them. And he told them the truth. That he preached the gospel. He said, he talked about how he has this man that you killed, Jesus the Christ. He spoke to them boldly, without any fear, brought forth the gospel, the first sermon ever preached under the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 of those who were there to help crucify our Lord gave their life, were born again. Is that strength or what? Is that boldness or what? The crowd could have turned on Peter. They could have came and drugged him and did him the same fate that he did the master. But he didn't care. He knew the truth. Now he had the boldness to present that gospel. And he did. Now later on, yes, Peter would give his life. Peter would be crucified. Why? Because he loved people. Why? Because he believed in Jesus. Why? Because he believed that your need to hear the gospel and be in heaven was greater than his need to walk upon this earth. Peter had already fulfilled. I mean, he had already received forgiveness of his sins. He already had his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He already knew that he had an appointment in heaven. No longer did he have to worry about anything in life. He was bought and paid for. The master forgave him when he denied him. So he was willing to follow Jesus and do anything that Christ instructed him to do. And we are so blessed at this time in the end times. We are so blessed that we are here with the same calling that he gave Peter and the rest of them. Share the gospel. And I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that. To allow the need for others to hear the gospel and be greater than our need to be accepted by other people. The time is running short for the return of the Master. He's coming back very soon for his church. Amen. He's coming back for a church without what? Spot or wrinkle. So that's us, number one. We got to make sure that our life is lining up with his word. Okay? We allow that word to cleanse us. We got to let that word to direct our voices. We have to let that word be used to to change our lifestyle. That word used to reconcile us. You just gave a testimony that 30 years you had to be able to see your aunt and now you're reconciled with them, okay? We got to allow that to take place in our lives, at least as far as much as we can do. Amen? We have to reach out like that. Our hand has to be extended. Now, Brother Steve, you might not grab my hand, but I extend it to you. That's all I can do is extend it to you. But I got to be willingly and lovingly to do that. It can't be, well, Jesus told me to. Don't mean nothing to you, does it? In a way, it don't. If I said, well, I said I have to, I got to love you. I mean, wow. He wants us to love one another. There's a difference. When I say to be obedient to His Word, He wants us to want to be obedient. And I shared it this way before, when you come to church on Sunday. And if you come only because you got to come, God sees that. If you're here today because, of course, last time I said this, somebody raised their hands, they were forced to come. But they got saved before they left. But if you came today because you have to come, what does that mean to the Father in heaven? You might be here today because I'm not sure what's going on. I want to hear something. But you're in here because you have to come, because of whatever reason it might be that you have to come to church. You got to sit here and stuff. That doesn't mean much at all to the Father in heaven. He wants you to come. He wants you to have a desire to come. And it's a completely different. Brother Steve, you would want me to reconcile with you. Really, man, I'm sorry, Brother Steve. I should never, whatever it might be, okay? And forgive me if you would. Put things in the past and let's go forward. Okay? That is how we... And then we go forward. Not because I have to, because I want to now. Because I think for one moment, if you say, well, I just can't forgive some things, think of one moment of your own body burning in hell for eternity. And I'm talking about yourself, not the person that you're upset with. Your own self burning in hell for eternity. The Bible says it's a place where the worm never dies. So you picture a worm going through your body. Can you imagine the torment you have going through your eyes and ears and your mouth? That feeling never, never stops. You're isolated. There's no one out. You're detained by yourself. There's no party in hell. You're going to be down there with AC/DC or the rest of the group, unless they get saved, which they can. You're going to be down there, you're tormented for eternity. Gone over and over and over. And can you imagine that, Steve? You have a date with that sometime in life. Then all of a sudden, the Master knocked on your heart, and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and He pulled you out of that. That point of hell is no longer there for you because of Jesus. He saved you as you accepted Him. Wow. What could there be in your life after that takes place that would cause us to want to go back to that death sentence in hell? Is there anything? Is there enough hate in your heart somewhere along the line to cause you willing to go to hell forever? Is there enough unforgiveness in your heart? I ain't never going to forgive them. The Master already said, if you can't forgive them, He can't forgive you. Think of that. But it's hard. What did it tell you to do? Call upon the Master. God, I need help. I want to obey You. I want to forgive. They hurt me so bad. I just can't put it behind me. But I know You can help me. I know You can give me the strength to do this. And He will. He will give you the strength. And our strength comes by reading the Word. And meditating. Again, just think about that yourself. Just think about yourself burning in hell and how the Master saved us from that. If He can forgive us from everything that we did to cause us to have that death sentence, we need to be able to forgive one another. Need to be forgiven. Now, I won't go in detail, but there's one thing to forgive, but it doesn't mean you have to put yourself back in the same situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's say, since your husband is here, my wife's not here. Me and Kathy's married, okay? And how many years now? No. And I have been a tyrant. I treated her, just terrible, terrible. Just really, she had a bad life with me, and she divorces me. Man, because I was really just abusive to her. She'll find in her heart, God will give her strength to forgive me, but not to take me back. At least not as I was. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference in that. Okay, guys? He'll give us the strength to forgive anything. Now, if it's family, reconciliation is always possible. But again, our hand goes out. You got a choice. Receive it or not. If you say, I ain't shaking your hand. Okay, brother. But that ain't going to stop. Maybe a year or two later. Hey, brother. Okay. But the Holy Spirit was sent to us this day of Pentecost to give us the strength. So we can never, ever say, I can't change, or they can't change. But when you say that, or if I say that, you're calling the Master, you're calling the Word of God a liar. Because of God, all things are possible. And Jesus Christ will strengthen us to do anything He's called us to do. Maybe our voice should be, okay, God, all things are possible. Show me the way. Show me what I need to do. Or pray for strength. If I'm going to meet up with someone tomorrow that has an odd against me, God, give me the strength tomorrow that I may say things that will touch their heart. Be in the midst of our conversation. Bring us back together. Cohesiveness. Time is short. You know, and I'll close with this. You think about the churches, and a lot of churches have different agreements and stuff on some doctrine, not on the scripture, but on doctrine. If the churches can continue to be separate from complete as a body, they'll never ever be as strong as what Christ wants us to be. It's the same way in our country. You know, the greatest thing our enemy can do is separate our country, cause us to have turmoil, to fight one another. And you see it taking place all the time. We need to continue to pray for our country. You know, I know sometimes we all think, it won't do no good. But I'm telling you, we are called to pray. The Bible says for us to pray for all those who are in authority. Amen? You know that's in there? Whether you like or dislike our president, God wants us to pray for him. Pray for what? Pray for strength. Pray for safety. Pray for his eyes to be open. Pray for his ears to be open. Pray for those around them who have God-fearing, Jesus Christ-believing Christians around them to minister to him. Pray that God, that next time he has a question on something, that those who open the mouth will be those who are of you, Lord, that will give him direction. We need to pray for his safety. We need to pray for his family. And we need to pray for all those and put authority over us. God wants us to. Well, how do I pray for this one and this one? Ask the Lord. He will tell you the Holy Spirit that we receive will give us direction and give us utterance. Amen. Holy Spirit, that's our strength and that's our power. If you have any more questions on the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is this thing about speaking in tongues or prayer language and stuff? You know, that's a complete different teaching. But get a hold of me. I'll gladly sit down and explain it to you. That is where the power is in the church, is in our prayer language. When Paul says pray without ceasing, he's praying in his prayer language. So, I'll close with this thought. A friend of yours had a movie house. And you want to go see a movie. And you went down one afternoon to watch the movie. And they said, well, you got to buy a ticket. You got to buy a ticket. Well, my friend built this place. In fact, I helped carry the blocks and the bricks. I brought the mortar here. My friend built this place. You tell me I need a ticket? Well, I'm sorry, sir, but everyone has to have a ticket in order to get in. I mean, I've seen churches go down and buy all the seats out at times. Be a church in a movie in town, they buy 400 tickets. But you'd have to go to them to get the ticket. They have all the tickets. See, you can't get in without a ticket. And folks, the same way of the Lord. We all want to go to heaven. And we might help build churches. We might help serve sandwiches. We might do a lot of things. But when the time comes, we need that ticket to get into heaven. And that ticket is called salvation. And it only comes from Jesus Christ. And he bought out every seat in that theater in heaven. He bought them all out. And the only way to get a ticket to go in is through him. So I just ask yourself today to check with yourself and say, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Have you received His forgiveness for your sins? Have you turned your life around? You know, you think, well, I just can't change my life. You can't do it by yourself. I'll tell you that. I tried 100 times to change my life. It wasn't until I got Jesus Christ into my life. Once I got that ticket from Him, He gave me a seat. He started ministering to me. How foolish it is at times we think about, well, I'm all right. I get to heaven. I'll be okay. I was a good person. It doesn't work that way. Again, it's like going down the movie theater and say, I know the guy who built this place. I carried the bricks. Well, I'm glad you helped build it. But it still takes a ticket to get in. In the same way in heaven, it takes a ticket called salvation to get in. And folks, if you haven't received that today, I ask you after the service today, please come and see me. Come and let's sit down. Or if you can't stay today, give me your number. We need to talk. This thing is so real. His return is coming so quickly that He doesn't want anyone to miss it. It's not just wanting you to miss hell. He wants to have a relationship with you today. Just like her sister again, when she testified her aunt, 30 years, they finally talking together. She didn't want that just get back together before someone died. They want to have a relationship now. That's what God wants of us today. So again, check yourself today, and just if you have a question, anything, please come see me after the service. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we thank You for Your Word today. God, we thank You that we can gather in Your house. Holy Spirit, that You minister to us, You encourage us, and I thank You that we can love on one another, we can laugh, we can enjoy, and at the same time look at the seriousness of the calling that we have to go and share the gospel to all those around us. And thank You, God, that You didn't leave us by ourselves. Thank You, God, that You don't depend upon our strength to do that. Thank You for the strength that we receive through the Holy Spirit. And Father, today we do lift up those who are mourning loved ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. We pray, God, for their peace. And Lord, that through all this chaos, that I know You can bring comfort like no one else can. And Father, we pray for our country today. We pray for our leaders. We just seek for wisdom for them, that they would yield themselves to You, God. Not just our high officials, but all the officials around, Lord. And we seek You for wisdom to know what's the best way of doing things for them. How to pray for them, God. And Lord, I pray for each one who gathered here this morning that came in to take time to visit You and worship You and sing Your praises and to encourage one another here. May Your blessing be upon them. And God, the ones that cannot make it in today, they're traveling. God, we just pray for traveling mercies for them. And Lord, Your word is true, and You brought healing at the cross. And we just lift up our voices today, God, saying thank You for healing our spirit, Lord. Now strengthen us today for another day. God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem today. We pray for the wisdom for their officials. We pray for our military personnel, for their protection, and for our first responders. God, to watch over those who are graduating this weekend. There's a lot of celebrations going on, Father, and we just pray that they'll be safe and that wisdom abound. If anyone tips too much, God, that they will be able to, someone will be there to intercede to be a designated driver. Father, we thank You for the hope we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, bring us back together next Sunday unless You come to gather us before then. And may we continue to walk in Your strength. May our faith be increased. May we continue to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.